Well, this is a great day. It's great because it's Mother's Day. But look outside, it's a great day. Wow, we are blessed today, aren't we? Wow. Because in Minnesota, you never know. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here with us to share in our time together. And I don't know how many of you have a mother that's still living. Anybody got a mother still living? You got one? Okay. All right. Well, most of our mothers have gone on to glory. Yeah. I had a great mom. Yes. I want to speak to you this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, I know because we have the writing on the wall, we don't bring our Bibles. But I think you should bring your Bible. It's just a good thing to do. I like to have my Bible with me. Anyhow, let's look at our text this morning. Now, there was a certain man from Ramathaim-Zophim from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. When the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting in the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. A razor shall never come upon his head." Now it came about as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. Yeah, poor Eli, he didn't know what was going on. And he thought she had been drinking. But she was praying. Anna Maria Reeves Jarvis, that's a good name, of Grafton, West Virginia, organized a club of women to nurse wounded soldiers from North and South during the Civil War. And after the war, Reeves Jarvis started Mother's Friendship Days to reconcile families that had been divided by the conflict. As you remember, there was a lot of division. I don't know if the Civil War is even over in the South yet. Throughout her life, Reeves Davis modeled the ideals of Victorian motherhood. She gave up her dreams of college to care for an older husband and four children. She bore the loss of seven other children with grace. She taught Sunday school in the local Methodist church for 20 years, stayed active in benevolent work. Her death in 1905 devastated her daughter, Anna. She honored her mother's memory by initiating a holiday honoring all mothers. Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 in Grafton, where Anna grew up, and in Philadelphia, where she lived as an adult. Later, in a resolution passed May 8, 1914, the U.S. Congress officially established the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day. I was blessed. I was blessed to have a godly mom, whom I feel I must credit for my being here today, because I had a praying mom. You know, I think I maybe mentioned it before, but I still remember how in the middle of the night, in the darkness, my mother would slip into my bedroom and kneel by my bed and pray for me. And I just know that I'm here because mom's prayers were answered. So thank God for praying mothers. Yes. When I would go to school as a young boy, mom would always say, well, let's read a little word from the Bible and we'll pray before you go. So that was a good way to send us off to school. And I just have to say my mom was a saint. She was just a godly woman, just loved the Lord with all of her heart. Now, Dorothy had a mom that was just like her. She was a wonderful woman, a very godly woman, humble woman, who in her own way served the Lord. And I would have to say of her that she too was a saint. And that's reflected in the fact that all six of their children became followers of Christ. Wonderful family. I married into a good family. Yes. Thank God for moms who lived godly lives and set an example for Dorothy and for me. For this Mother's Day, I want to focus on one woman in Scripture who is an example of godliness and faithfulness and motherhood, and that is, her name is Hannah. You heard of Hannah? You'll find the story in the first chapter of Samuel. And her story begins really with in a atmosphere of contention. She had some problems. But anyhow, it was that, as you think about that particular time in its setting, it was not the best of times. It was, in fact, a time of spiritual declension. The judges had been ruling, and it was noted at this point that there was no king in Israel. It was when there was scarcely a magistrate, the scripture says, in the land that might put them to shame in anything. It was more like every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And you know how that goes. Every man would be a law to himself, and the law of the Lord was either treated with utter neglect or contempt. It was set aside as something out of date, not applying to the age in which they were living. The word of God had no authority whatsoever over the conscience. Think of it. When you think about that time, the way it was, the world hasn't changed much, has it? That's just the way things are today. There's just contempt for the things of God and just a rejection of the word of God. And that's the kind of times in which Samuel was born. Yet it's to be seen that God was not inactive in that time. In the midst of all the decline and spiritual darkness, how beautiful to see that even then there was a family in which godliness prevailed. Praise God. And the claims of God, the God of Israel, were recognized. And such was the family in which Samuel was born, and Hannah was the mother. The story starts with a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Elkanah, an Ephrathite, a man whom Scripture says he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, you have to remember, in those days, polygamy was accepted. Okay, so this was not so unusual in that sense. Scripture says, "And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh." He was a Levite, though at the time he was not doing service as a Levite. But he went up to worship, it says, to sacrifice to the Lord. And I think, to me, the adding that word worship puts something to it. If it just said he went up to sacrifice, well, that's just doing your ritual, doing the usual thing. But he went up, it says, to worship. So he was not just doing meaningless ritual. He understood that he owed his blessings and his very existence to God's grace. Elkanah, in fact, was a descendant of rebellious Korah. Remember Korah? Korah's rebellion? Oh, my goodness. But he was of a different breed, that's for sure. He was not like Korah. Now, let's think about Hannah this morning, because this is Mother's Day. She is one I want to consider. In chapter 1, we note that there was favoritism shown by Elkanah toward Hannah. In verses 4 and 5, we read, "And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah." But the Lord, it says, and this is the other thing, "But the Lord had closed her womb." I don't know what you think about that, but I think two women in one family is a little much. Yeah. It was not a good mix in this case, for sure. What otherwise might have presented an ideal Hebrew home was marred by bitter provokings of the elated Peninnah. She had kids, and she just needled Hannah all the time. You can almost sense that friction that went on in that home. And I have to say this morning that was not a good arrangement. And I'll have to tell you that painful results are always the consequence of a departure from God's order. Yeah. And God's original order was one man, one woman, together for life, right? The unwarranted provocation of Hannah by her rival must have continued for years. Can you imagine that? That kind of tension in the home, year after year. But according to verse 7, what she suffered from the tongue of her sister can only be imagined. But this is the kind of thing that tests your mettle. Yeah, it was a real test of Hannah to endure that kind of a atmosphere in her home. It's beautiful to see her unresentful submission to the persecution of Peninnah, the proud, if not happy, mother of children. There's no hint. This is amazing, really. There's no hint of anger on the part of Hannah. She did not render railing for railing, okay? But poured out her grief in the ears of the Lord. And God heard her complaint and answered after weary years of waiting. There is another praiseworthy trait of the character of Hannah that I like too. She refused to eat the sacrificial feast. It says she wept and did not eat. In this abstinence, she displays her knowledge of the law of the Lord. For the law did not permit eating the sacrifice while in a state of mourning. Think about that. What's so beautiful here is that by observing her behavior, one can sense the subjection of her soul. Now it becomes apparent the kind of stuff this woman was made of. Comparing to Mary, oh, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was truly a handmaid of the Lord. In all things, obedient to his word, submissive to his will. I want to read just a little portion here of this in 1 Samuel, beginning in verse 9. This is what it says. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. And she, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me and not forget thy maidservant, but will give thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And God, and yes, all the days of his life, and she said, and a razor shall never come on his head, so he would be subject to the Nazarite vow. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. And as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Yeah, Eli was not a great priest, I can tell you that. So, when you think about this, it was not like Rachel, Jacob's wife. If you remember Rachel, when she prayed a desperate prayer, give me children or else I die. That was the way she prayed. Hannah prayed more specifically. She prayed, God, give me a man-child. Give me a man-child. And that wasn't just to please herself. It had a higher motive, God's glory and the great and the good of his glory and the good of his erring people. Things were not well under the doings of the sons of Eli. You know that story. Her earnest desire goes up to God for a son who might grow up under the blessing of Jehovah to be a deliverer in Israel. This passion was a response to the debauchery that she saw all around her. The night of Hannah's mourning ended. The word she received was, "The God of Israel grant you your petition that you have asked of him." And when the time was come after Hannah conceived, she bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked of the Lord. Like Sarah, the wife of Elkanah, through faith received strength to conceive seed, says the scripture. At last this happy mother held in her arms a son of her vows. It would appear that Elkanah did not have the same strength of faith as Hannah. He simply was saying, the Lord establishes word. Typical father. At least there was some expectation there. The expectation that was better days would come to God's people through the birth of this son. The name Samuel embodies a sense of great goodness. She calls him Samuel, which could literally mean heard or asked of God. As one author commented, the name was not only intended to commemorate the fact God hears and answers the earnest prayer of the righteous, but seems as a prophecy of the place that prayer was to have in the afterlife of this God-given child. Oh, I love this. I love this story. It is but one example, one more example of what James says long, long after, the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. Prayer counts, friends. It does. Yes. Her words to Eli, the reprobate priest, are in keeping with her beautiful spirit. She does not remonstrate Eli for charging her with drunkenness, but rather gives glory to God. She says, I am the woman, she says, that stood by you here praying unto the Lord for this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. What an example that was. The wrongs, the insults done to her were not remembered. Instead, her spirit exalts God. Wonderful woman. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord, she adds. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. The Bible uses that word lent, but really it means give. It would be better rendered give. As long as he lives, I'm giving him to the Lord. So she gives him up freely, gladly, for it was not for this, was it not for this very purpose that she waited so long and prayed so earnestly? Think of this. 3 years of age is said to have been the time of weaning among the Hebrews. If this was Samuel's age when he was left with Eli, it exhibits what I would say is a marked degree of devotion of Hannah to the service of God. You know, a three-year-old boy, he's weaned now, and she gives him to Eli. And Eli wasn't the best, as we know. The life of Samuel was her legacy. I hardly need say more in respect to Samuel. Samuel, oh, what a story it is. What a great man Samuel was in Israel. Wow, he was a godly man and served the Lord to lead Israel until they, in their own carnality, said, we want to be like everybody else and have a king. Give us a king. Well, that was on their way down. Anyhow, I think Hannah could hardly have wished, really, for a greater spiritual gift to Israel than the son that she gave. No wonder she broke out in song in chapter 2. And what a song that is. Let me read a portion of it here. Chapter 2 of Samuel. Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides thee, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, and the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren rise, gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. What a word from Hannah. What a word from her. Now, I said Hannah was indeed a role model, certainly worthy of following. A very godly woman. And that's what impressed me about her. She compares a lot with, if you read Mary's Magnificat, which she read and rejoiced in the Lord, Hannah is so much like that. And we might say, may her tribe increase. This kind of mother, may their tribe increase. I want to close with the story of a mother whose response to tragedy led her to a great ministry. In 1992, Rosemary and Luther Smith of Beattyville, Kentucky, lost two sons in a car wreck. I can't even imagine that. I know something about sorrow when we lost little Aiden. Darkness like nothing she'd ever known settled over Rosemary. Yet she found solace in her faith. While following the hearses to the burial site, she heard church bells toll 33 times. As I sat there and counted, it hit me that when Jesus died, he was 33, and which also the combined ages of my two sons. That would have been 33. Not long after her loss, Rosemary began a ministry called Fellow Travelers, a ministry to other parents who have lost a child. She says, I now have a greater, higher purpose than what I was doing, and the death of my sons took me there. Every day, Rosemary reads the paper and searches the internet for child obituaries. She either calls the families or sends them special packets consisting of books on loss, a music CD, a notebook of inspirational messages, and more. She gets about 50 emails a day from people requesting her packets. Think about that. And paid for by Rosemary and her husband. And they've been sent all over the world. She says, we're here to help other people. It gives me great joy to think God is using me to help others. A mother who turned a tragedy into a triumph. Good mothers. God bless our mothers. You know, with pain, they brought us into the world. But there's something special. I think there's a special tie between a son or daughter and the mother. There's just something special there. I thank God for my mom. She's having a good time in heaven. Oh, my. She used to stand under my arm. I called her Lila Mama. Yeah. But she was godly. She loved the Lord. And it didn't matter what the weather was, she would go to church. And that's what, in a way, kind of led to her downfall, because it was a winter night when she hurried down to church walking. We didn't have a car. Dad never had a car. And she hit an icy spot, fell, and broke her hip. And that was the end for my mom. It just went downhill from there. But what a great mom she was. When I really came to the Lord, and like the prodigal came to my senses, I determined, that was in June of 47, I immediately knew what I had to do. And my mom was very pleased that I would still remember that. Because even mom said that when I was like 3-4 years old in our house in Warren, Pennsylvania, I would get up on the stairs and preach. So somehow that just lingered. And when the Lord really got a hold of my heart, I knew what I had to do. That was in June on a Sunday night. In September, I was at North Central preparing for the ministry. And I just have to give all the credit to my mom, who prayed for me day after day, sometimes during the night. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for mothers. I want to just pray a blessing on you. How many mothers are, is there everybody, we got mothers, mothers? Yeah, several mothers. I want to pray a blessing upon you. God, we are so thankful this morning for the story of Hannah. What a great woman she was. What a godly woman she was. in spite of the conditions around her, which were certainly not encouraging, yet she was steadfast in serving you and in holding on to your promise. And you blessed her, you honored her, and gave her something that was just beyond her imagination, the blessing that that son Samuel would be in Israel. So I thank you, Lord. It shows us how important it is to pray. And I pray for our moms. These are not easy days. These are not easy days, especially for moms that are raising a family now. It's a very difficult time. But I thank you for every mother here this morning. And I want to just pray, Lord, a special blessing upon them. God, let your hand rest upon them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Mother's Day. And thank you for mothers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, remember, when you go upstairs, there's some nice roses up there, so you can get one of those roses if you're a mother. That's for you. And may this just be a great day. I don't know how you'll celebrate Mother's Day, but I pray that God will bless you, be with you. Amen.